It's a Friday, and that means it is Ben Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a very popular portion of the website dedicated on Fridays to one Ben Fredrickson. And this is brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty. See their services at stocriminaldefense.com. Ben will be at spring training officially next week. He's been covering the Blues. He's been at the Battle Hawks. He's been at SLU. He's been busy. He's been a man about town, and that's probably the best way to describe you, Ben. Just a popular guy and a man about town.
Oh, that makes me sound way more interesting than I am.
Really,
but I appreciate it. You've caught me in transition here. As I teased you a little bit last week, I'm catching a few days with family here before I get to Jupiter. So I'm working on my pre-tan, and then I'll be ready to catch up and go to work. I couldn't show up to Jupiter just straight pasty white, so I'm getting a little sun before I show up to, you want to show up in shape, especially if you're not the first guy to camp. So I'm a late addition, but I'm very eager to get boots on the ground in Jupiter and start to, you know, sink my teeth into this team. It's been fun to follow, the early games and already, you know, some news coming out of camp. So I feel like I'm playing from behind, but glad to get down here.
Well, it is the question of everybody's camp. Are you coming in the best shape of your life?
I can say without a doubt, no. I think 18-year-old me at Smith Cotton High School gets that nod, but perhaps as good a shape as I was last year. And yeah,
that's good.
You're getting older, then you go take it.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, though, you follow it from afar. What are your impressions of watching these games on Fox Sports Midwest? And I should promote the fact that we'll have the game tomorrow, the Cardinals and the Nationals at noon on Fox Sports Midwest. But you're just you're watching it from afar. What are your impressions?
Well, other than the guys calling the games, it's been
watch it, Ben.
No, I mean, look, how can you not be fascinated by what Dylan Carlson has done? And let's start there. I mean, the guy is getting on base in every sort of way. He's hitting singles. He's hitting triples. He's hitting from the left and right side. He's not making outs. He's taking walks. He's doing, Dan, I think early on, exactly what we all said this young man has to do in order to force the Cardinals' hands. If it's convenient for the Cardinals to start Dylan Carlson in Memphis, they'll do it. Not because they're trying to, you know, mess with his service time. They don't do that. Look at Jordan Hicks. But because they have guys above him on the depth chart that he's going to have to noticeably and commandingly leap over. And make, if he can do that in a short sample of games that he's done, he's off to a really good start. Now he's going to need to have a great spring. But with the spring he had last season, there's no reason to think he can't do that. And he's off to that kind of start. So I think that's fascinating. Continuing, really, really fun to watch him as I get down here. Really interested in that kind of conversation as it parallels to what Marcell Ozuna said to Derek Gould this week about, hey, you know, if he could do it all over again, he would have taken that qualifying offer from the Cardinals and been back in left field, been the cleanup hitter. And that's the spot that Dylan Carlson right now is pushing for. So a lot of people read that and saw Marcell Ozuna's comments that he went back to the Cardinals at the end of the day and said, hey, can we figure out something to make this work? And there wasn't a deal for him there that matched what the Braves gave him. According to his side of the story, and that tells you one of the few things. It tells you the Cardinals, you know, I think we've talked a lot, you and I, about how the Cardinals felt about Ozuna. They had what they were willing to give, and they weren't really to go beyond that even a little bit. And if that works out where Dylan Carlson is here now, where there's a left field answer that's a better and more affordable option, but emphasis on better than Ozuna, it will look smart. And if Marcell Ozuna rakes for the Braves and the Cardinals don't have a cleanup hitter all season, then that will look short-sighted. So that's something that, you know, that was an intriguing thing that had happened here late this week. And other than that, I'm interested in seeing how the closer battle shakes out. We kind of have less intrigue with the rotation right now. I think Kim and Carlos are going to go for that until a surprise arrives, but I'm interested to see who gets the first shot at holding that closer role now that it looks like Carlos is cruising toward the rotation.
I'm very interested in that. I'm also interested in lineup construction and trying to figure out how you protect Paul Goldschmidt specifically, you know, and a leadoff man. So what do you think about that as this is unfolding down here in Florida?
I like Colton Wong's profile right now as a, you know, mature Colton Wong, not trying to do too much. He knows what he is now. and I don't think he's going to stray. So I like that idea. You know, if I don't have a problem with Edmund being up there, maybe two if he's playing. Now, that's kind of tells you everything you need to know about this lineup. Is the guy you can make a case for hitting two is might not be in the lineup every day. You know, how often is this guy going to play? You know, who's going to take the day off as they rotate it around to get him in there? So, you know, to me, Colton is a good place to start. And I think it could be a lot of people. You know, I'm fine with Matt Carpenter being there if he finds ways to get on base. I'm fine with Dexter Fowler doing it if he finds ways to get on base. And really, the conversation, I think you're going to have a lot of slash marks between either or, depending on who's playing a little bit better at that time. I think this lineup, Dan, is going to be the most fluid that we've seen. And I don't think that's going to be because it's going to be a great thing. I think that's going to be Mike Schilt searching and guys having ups and downs. And I think it's going to have to be one where the cream rises and is probably going to change a bunch throughout the season. I can't give you a lineup today. And if I did, it would look probably different than yours and probably different than anybody else who covers this team. It's not a static lineup. And the Cardinals can argue that that's a good lineup because it's long and it's got a lot of guys who, if they all hit, then it could be hard to fill it out in a good way. But until they all hit, then it's hard to fill out in a concerning way.
The Astros is still a major story in Major League Baseball. The Cardinals will face them in two of the next 3 days. What have you seen from their first few games that it's really caught your attention?
Well, they're getting hit a lot.
Yes, they are.
And some of this is probably narrative, right? I mean, they're not all getting drilled with fastballs to the ribs. So we need to be clear about some of these guys are just pitches that some of these are pitches that get away at spring training. Okay. And this, the eyes are not on every other team that's getting guys plunked. If you're intentionally hitting batters who had nothing to do with this, that shouldn't be happening. I would also argue that those are probably not intentional. It doesn't send a message to plunk a guy who has been languishing in the minors for the Astros. That sends no message. If you're going to hit somebody and you want to tell them you didn't like what they did, then hit Altuve, hit Bregman. And I'm not advocating for that, but don't go take it out on a guy who had nothing to do with it. So I think some of this is going to be overdone because of, this spring training and pitchers are getting used to things and sometimes balls get away. If it's not a fastball, I don't want to hear about it. But if it is a fastball to one of those key hitters, then there's probably something to talk about. And we knew it was coming. And Rob Manfred can hem and haw as much as he wants, but he knows what we know, Dan. If he goes in and starts trying to punish guys over hitting another player and over punishing them for hitting an Astros player, then he's going to have a mess. And he knows that. So he can wag his finger and promise extra discipline all he wants, but he also has to go there and do it. And I think he's probably really going to wait as long as he can until he has to do something. And I'm sure his fingers are crossed that it doesn't get that bad. And if there's going to be wiggle room, it's going to be on the front end of this thing. If it doesn't settle down, then he might have to try to do something, but it's not going to be received well. And that will quickly be turned into the Astros getting preferential treatment. That's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see the Astros getting rewarded because they take an Anthony Rizzo approach and stick their elbow out over the plate. And all of a sudden they're getting, beyond a free trip to first base because they're leaning into pitches. I don't want to see that.
I would agree. I know that sometimes in sports it's live TV, if you will, it's reality TV and things will come to a writer because what happens on the field dictates what you might put in the paper. However, you're coming down here, pull the curtain back a little bit for our listeners. What are some of the stories, because I know you're thinking about it, what should I write about? What are some of the things I want to write about and get out there? What are some of the things that are there that really intrigue you as you look forward to this camp?
I think the things that the storylines that we know, but that we can actually kind of get more meat off the bone. Like it's one thing to set up, the story of, what's going on with Matt Carpenter's swing entering spring training. Like we have all set the table as to what this looks like. But now that we actually are getting a sample size worth analyzing, what is going on there? What does it look? Does it look better? Why? We saw him clearly in some of these early at bats, that he's trying to be intentional about taking things the other way and being that more complete hitter. And then all of a sudden he's, sidelined with the back tightness. And I joked and you called me out for saying, hey, it's not spring training until Carpenter has back tightness. And it really isn't, because this happens every year.
I had to give you
year.
Trouble, man. Come
I'm not,
on.
I'm not panicking. I'm just saying, like, every year this happens, and every year people lose their mind, and every year it's not that big of a deal. You know, and so I'm just, it's kind of like, you know, it's the same thing as the green grass and the blue sky at spring training. Matt Carpenter's back's going to tighten up, and he's going to probably take a day off because he's smarter now than he was when he was, you know, trying to play through that for no reason. So when he gets back at it, and I think that'll be soon, then I think there's some real good things to analyze there. The outfield to me is so fascinating because the Cardinals have said all offseason, like, hey, we're going to potentially raise the bar of our offense by leaning on young guys, which is a risk. But my question, Dan, is what happens if their best outfield candidates are playing in left field?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if their best outfielders are competing and showing in those sample sizes that they're potentially better than what the Cardinals have in center and right field? That's going to be a challenging situation. The Edmund thing is fascinating. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, we want to get him a starter's amount of at-bats, but we want to do it all over the field. Well, okay, that's great in theory, but are you actually going to tell Paul DeJong he's got to take more time off? He doesn't want to take days off. Are you going to sit down Colton Wong? Are you going to sit down, you know, are you going to stick him in left field? And then what happens to the, you know, the, all the opportunities for the internal guys? I mean, there's some real tough decisions that Mike Schilt is going to have to make there. And then the other thing, and this is kind of a big picture thing too, is, you know, what is the wiggle room for some of these veterans? You know, what does Carpenter have to produce? What does Dexter Fowler have to produce before all of a sudden we're not talking about these guys being entrenched? Now, the Cardinals are going to say that they're the guys, and they're going to hope that that's the case. They have the contracts, and ideally that's the way it works. But, you know, there's more, all those guys who've been nipping at their heels, they're closer than ever now, and they see light at the end of the tunnel. So I think, you know, what do those guys actually have to do before the Cardinals and Mike Schilt have to say, hey, we have better options here?
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the Blues. It was just a sobering press conference in watching Jay Bouwmeester the other day address his situation. What did you take away from that press conference as you listened to it or watched it? Pretty amazing to see him still doing what he's doing, loving hockey, being around the club, and still a part of the St. Louis Blues. And you know what? Hey, I was texting with Ray Borelli the other day. Kudos to him and the team in Anaheim and also the St. Louis Blues for keeping him alive, literally. It was just, I had so many feelings about that press conference, but I'm curious about what you thought.
Relief, kind of a sense of awe, really, that in such a tragic thing that it happened, but an almost, in a bizarre way, kind of, dare I say, fortunate that it happened when it did and where it did. And Jay Bouwmeester talked about this. If something like this was going to happen to you, and you never want that to happen, but there probably isn't a better place than on a bench, you know, in a hockey game where there's great trainers, great medical staff, you know, awesome response time. And I think, you know, Jay Bouwmeester pointed out, look, I do a lot of stuff during the off seasons where I'm out and about, where I'm taking long bike rides, where I'm camping. I'm not in a place where if something bad happens, I can be instantly, you know, transported to a hospital. And I think that set into him that, look, I didn't expect like this to happen, but in some ways it's good that it happened where it did. Awesome to hear that he's feeling like he's in a spot where he's not yet sure he wants to say, hey, I'm done. And I don't know if he'll play again. I don't know if he should play again. People smarter than me will tell him what they think about that, you know, who understand how hearts work and what it's like to play with the defibrillator. But it's great that he feels good enough today that he's not ready to decide that yet. I think probably if I had to bet, I would imagine he's done, but crazier things have happened. And, mm-hmm. and I'm just glad that he feels good enough to say, hey, I'm not ready to go there yet. I think that tells us how he's feeling.
Trade deadline is come and gone. Blues stood pat, and I'm assuming, like many fans, when you win the cup and the team is having success, they've had a few bumps in the road, but you're okay with that, especially with the potential return of Vladimir Tarasenko.
I really thought this was going to end up being what they did. And I, the way the team has played, they're still top in their conference. You look at the way they finished right before the deadline, that was encouraging. You know, all along, Dan, we talked about they got to get a top six forward. They got to get a top six forward. And we said, well, let's hold on and see what these guys who are given more opportunities do. Well, Zach Sanford has emerged as the kind of player that if you acquired him at the trade deadline, people would have been ecstatic based off what he's done this season. He's really emerged. You have the speed of Jordan Kyrou in there as well. And I think the Blues are not hurting for goals like some of us thought they would. Their defense was what was hurting, and they made a really smart pre-deadline pickup of Scandella, who's been really good. Long, fits into the system well. I think he has pleased everybody, perhaps more than anybody expected. And they wrestled. We knew they were going to wrestle with what to do with Vlad. And I think he is pushed, and he feels like he's ready to come back, you know, here in the near future. And they feel like they can get more from him playing in those regular season games than they could have by a trade deadline upgrade. So you're not going to get a better forward than Tarasenko. So betting on saying, hey, let's just get as much time for him to be ready as possible is not a bad bet. And then there's the even better part of it is that all the teams the Blues are competing with in the West, none of them made major moves. It would be tough to see Colorado add a guy like Kreider and go, oh man, the Blues could have had him. Well, they didn't. You know, he re-signed with the Rangers, and everybody that the Blues are going head-to-head with here on the West side, they all kind of made minor moves. So I think the Blues feel good about where they are, and they're also feeling good that not everybody, that they're going to go with to try to be the top team out of the East went out and made a move that made them wish they would have done something bigger.
In terms of the Billikens, 20 wins, what does it mean to you?
Well, I think it means that, as I told Chris May, you know, the last game I was at, it's growing pains, right? It's good that you see this team and say, hey, 20 wins, and I feel like they feel like they should be better. And that tells you, you know, Travis has won more games every year he's been there. He still has to jump up and knock off a top 25 team, and he knows that. But when you look out and you see guys from St. Louis doing this, Jordan Goodwin and Yuri Collins and Terrence Hargrove Jr., this is what Travis said he wanted to do. He wanted to give guys a reason to stay home if they wanted to and put them on the court and let them play, and that's what's happening. They got here faster than they have to 20 wins anytime under Travis's tenure here. He is going to be the coach moving forward unless somebody comes and poaches him. He's been given an extension, at least have to believe that since he was first hired. SLU is not disclosing that, but I asked Chris May, have you guys given him an extension because it's coming up on that time? And he said, we feel good about our future with Travis. And I said, better than you did when you hired him. He said, better than we did when we hired him. So that can only mean one thing to me. So this is moving in the right direction. Now, should SLU have not lost some of the down games they've had this year? Totally. But you look at what they have next season, Dan, everybody on this team is coming back. We don't know about Fred Thatch, who's got the medical situation. I wonder if he's going to end up being put on a medical scholarship or something. They have one scholarship to give besides that. And then everybody who leads the team in scoring, rebounding, and minutes, they're all going to be back. You get Gibson Jimerson back. They should be very good next year. And they still have a chance to do something crazy at the A-10 tournament. We learned last year that they can do that. I think Dayton is going to be tough to beat in this A-10. I don't think another team from this league gets in I don't think SLU obviously will get in unless they run the A-10 tournament. They could get another A-10 team in as an at-large, kind of depending on how things play out, three tops, but SLU has put themselves in a bind there. They've got to, you know, get to the point where they can be in the at-large discussion. But until then, they're going to have a chance to try to run this tournament. And with the way they've played here lately, they're going to like the momentum they have entering the tournament.
I would say that if you're the opposition to SLU, that's the last team you want to face outside of Dayton, because they did it a year ago. They have talent, and they're just dangerous. It's a dangerous team, and that's how I look at SLU.
Well, yeah, if it's their night, they can beat anybody in this conference, hands down. They had Dayton on the ropes at home. Boston overtime, could have won that game. They ran VCU out of the dang gym at Chaffetz, right before I headed down to Florida. I mean, they if it's their night, then they can beat beat anybody, especially with Javonte Perkins doing what he did. You remember last year when Tremaine Isabel kind of, you know, hit that next gear at this time? I feel like Javonte Perkins is doing that same thing, and he gets to come back next year. SLU does not have another player like him, Dan, who can score in a variety of ways. He is graceful. And SLU doesn't have a lot of guys who are graceful. They've got a lot of guys who are strong. They've got a lot of guys who are powerful. Yuri Collins is fast as Grease Lightning, but Javonte Perkins is graceful. He can cover so much ground in a short amount of time. He can score in so many different ways. He's the kind of guy, if he's really feeling it entering a tournament, then you're right. SLU is not who you want to end up on the bracket line against.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. A full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
I don't know about you, Ben. I find what's happening with the XFL and the St. Louis Battlehawks awesome. I love how the town has rallied around them. I just didn't see it coming, and I was wrong about this, and I'm glad to be wrong about it. But it's amazing what the fan base has done with the XFL in St. Louis, isn't it?
It's pretty special. Again, I don't know how long it will last. It's fair to point out that not every city has embraced the XFL like St. Louis has. No other city has. Seattle, who the Battlehawks will play on Saturday, is probably the closest, you know, in terms of enthusiasm. It makes you wonder why the XFL maybe didn't pick some different cities to put their teams in. St. Louis will not be successful enough that it will make the league survive. But I do think the XFL and Oliver Luck believe if every team was like St. Louis, then they'd be in great shape. Now, we'll see how this plays out. They've got good TV contracts. They've got a lot of money coming from Vince McMahon to try to make this thing work. And the TV ratings so far have been pretty good. We'll see if that wears off as the, you know, novelty fades a little bit. But in terms of the St. Louis reaction, I'm not surprised. I figured, you know, St. Louis would show up. And it's a few things, I think. One is, sure, the obvious angle, let's prove it to the NFL that they screwed up. Let's kick Stan Kroenke and let him know that he was wrong about how he tried to label the team. Let's prove it to anybody who sees this that they were wrong about how they tried to label the city. And the other thing, I think, and this deserves credit, the Battlehawks have done a good job of trying to build goodwill. And St. Louis, as you know, Dan, is a city that if a sports team wants to be there and cares and shows it cares, then a city will respond. And the Battlehawks have done like 200 plus events trying to, you know, talk to people about what they want to see in a team and to build fan, you know, relationships. They go to high school football games. They do one community service project a week. Kurt Hunzinger, the president, is really smart. I mean, this is a guy who had to sell and pitch minor league baseball, which is not easy to do. But, you know, kind of like, so to some degree, this XFL team, the cities that love their minor league teams, they love it and they support it and they do things for it. They show up. And I think he is the right guy to try to lead this. Now, they might need his help in some other cities by the time this is said and done, if it's going to work. But my goodness, to see that energy in the dome was fun. And I think there's a chance they could try to open up that upper level for the third home game, the one against Los Angeles. And I think they'll probably be doing some stuff to try to make that possible. And if you tell St. Louis, hey, you know, let's sell out the entire dome for the game against Los Angeles to send a message, then I got to think people would do it.
It would be amazing. You walked around tailgaters and you walked around the stadium on Sunday. What was that like? Well, give me the experience and tell me the fan reaction that you got.
Well, I got a lot of people who told me they liked the podcast. So thanks to those guys. Hope
Thank
they're listening.
You. Yeah.
And a lot of people said, look, the Sunday afternoons, going to a tailgate, throwing a football around, you know, throwing some burgers on the grill and going to a game, that was part of our culture. It was something we relished. And even when the Rams stunk, we did it because it was our community. It was our friends. Our families do this together. And it was taken away from us. So these guys are going to come give it back. We're going to support them. And especially because they actually care about being here and they're not actively trying to move the team. I think we forgot what the opener reminded me of is that, yes, it hasn't been that long since St. Louis had an NFL team, but it had been a long time since St. Louis had a pro football team that wanted to be there. There's a big difference. It's hard to get fired up to go to a game when you know, yeah, the players care and the coaches care, but the guy who owns the team doesn't want to be there. That's hard to do. It's hard to go pay for a beer and a parking spot into Jersey when you know the guy who runs the thing doesn't want to be there. That's a tough sell. But this was something that, hey, it's not the NFL. And hey, some people think it's a joke, but you know what? They want to be here. So let's go have a party. And it's a crowd that I think it's a young crowd. It's a crowd that likes to drink. It's a crowd that likes to have a good time. And it is a pony, man. It's a party there. And that place was electric. I went down to the first level from the press box during the game. And I'm glad I did because, you know, you're so high up in the press box and that second level is empty. But when you get down there in that first level, it was an atmosphere, man. And you could see that in the game because the other team, the Guardians, which is a terrible team, but they were having a hard time with their signals. You know, those play calls are mic'd into the helmets now and they couldn't hear very well. So I think the atmosphere was pretty special.
Do you think the NFL, in talking with your colleagues around the country, do you think the NFL at all is paying attention to what has transpired here with the XFL and St. Louis?
Well, you know, I don't think they're watching the XFL game going kicking themselves, but here's what I think. I think if you were in the room when the vote went down to send the Rams to Los Angeles, you know, the secret ballot, you know, Jerry Jones rigged vote, and you didn't feel good about it. You felt like, man, this is going to be good for our bottom line, but I don't love the way this is playing out. If you were one of those owners, and I think there were people like that, if you're one of those owners and you see what's happened since then with how St. Louis has showed up for everything from the NHL All-Star game to the Blues parade to the, you know, the opener of the Battle Ox, the PGA tournament, and you were sold a plan that said St. Louis didn't have the corporate sponsorship to support a team and all this other stuff that wasn't true. I mean, Dave Peacock was the guy who fought tooth and nail to keep the Rams, and Dave Peacock is the guy who went and got the Battlehawks a huge Schnook sponsorship. So tell me about corporate sponsorship and how that doesn't work in St. Louis, okay? You know, ask about how does MLS work if St. Louis doesn't have the kind of sponsorship it needs to land a team. I think the folks who were actually paying attention maybe are starting to go, okay, you know, we were sold a false bill of goods here. And the other thing, and the most important thing that's going to irk these guys, is this lawsuit. It's continuing. They haven't been able to stop it. They've tried and failed. They've had to turn over their phone records. So when you combine those things, I hope there are people going, okay, this is becoming a pain and there's no end in sight. And some of the things that you know, were told to us about St. Louis are obviously not true. And I think, and I hope that there are some people looking back at that going, okay, we were swindled a little bit, because that's certainly how St. Louis feels.
This is Henderson and Watercutty, Ben Fred Fridays. And I'll wrap it up with this. I get people that contact me on social media nonstop asking me about MLS, what's going on, colors, names, stadium. So just in a general sense, what are you hearing? You know, just the latest on what's going on with MLS in St. Louis.
Yeah, same. From what I've heard is, you know, early April will be the you know, the time we know name and colors and all that stuff. I thought it would be out before the end of March. I think it's now going to be early April. And I know people are screaming, going, why is it taking so long? I totally get it. They're narrowing down the names. I think they probably have it. And I've tried to get it. Don't get me wrong. I would love to get that out there first. But it's under lock and key if it's been completely decided, or else it's down to a very short list. And I know that I've had some people reach out about Legacy being a name that they've heard floated. I can tell you that it's not that, but I can't tell you what it is. I don't know, or I would.
I don't know if you saw on Twitter about a month and a half ago, I put out a soccer, you know, mannequin with the yep. St. Louis Scoops on it, and I think it's got a nice ring. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you this. I haven't been told that it's not, that's not it.
That's why I think I'm still in the game. Ben, you're the best, buddy. I love doing these. Can't wait to catch up with you in person down here in Jupiter, and we'll catch up in person all next week and next Friday right here on Scoops with Danny Mac.
Sounds good, brother. See you soon.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty.
Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.